Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bowerly and Bellavia, you're stuck with one of us, and it ain't Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. David is on extended leave, and I looked it up during the break, and I'm glad my initial apprehension about the idea of Puerto Ricans being immigrants was in fact correct, because, and this will be good news, of course, for Mrs. Nerd and her family, Uncle Nino, but Puerto Ricans born in Puerto Rico are not considered immigrants to the United States. They are considered every bit as much of an American citizen as you or I. And that is because of a law passed back in 1917. So it is wrong and it is inaccurate to say that Puerto Ricans could be considered illegal immigrants, because by definition, they have every bit of American citizenship that you have when you are born into this country. So I'm glad I listened to that little voice in my head. Joining us right now on News Radio 930 WBEN from the spring meeting of American bishops, we have the Bishop of Buffalo, Richard Malone, kind enough to take some time out of his schedule to join us. Your Excellency, I know how you love that title. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. It is always a pleasure and an honor, sir.
Well, thank you, Your Majesty.
You're going to say that. First of all, some of the media reports, Bishop Malone, have said that the mood where you are now at your meeting is one of weariness, that there's a palpable weariness amongst your cohorts and yourself. Do you agree with that characterization?
Well, we're weary because we did really work very, very hard at this process. It was a very, very intense few days. We were determined to make some progress with some real steps, concrete steps, to hold ourselves as bishops accountable when it comes to issues of abuse of minors and how all those things are dealt with. So we're weary, but it's a healthy weariness because it was a good meeting.
What has been accomplished, Bishop?
Well, a number of things happened. We voted on several proposals, and the votes were as near unanimous as I've seen. That doesn't always happen with all of our proposals. To hold bishops accountable, for instances of sexual abuse of children, of vulnerable persons, misconduct, all these kinds of things, the way things are handled. And a very important thing is that we've very specifically committed to involving and utilizing lay people, lay professional experts in this whole thing, and put in a new independent third-party reporting system, national system, that's going to be in place so people can anonymously confidentially make calls if they have something to report. So we're taking seriously our commitment to hold ourselves accountable.
Bishop Malone, will this hotline be for examples or situations that are currently happening, for situations that happened in the past, or both, any and all?
As I understand it, it could be either. It's just a third-party system for confidential receiving of reports of possible violations. And so it's going to take a little while because it's a national thing to get up and running, but we're very eager to get that going. And as it stands now, of course, people can bring their claims or their allegations about bishops to the Metropolitan Archbishop. In our case, that's Cardinal Dolan. Or directly to the Apostolic Nuncio, the Pope's ambassador. So that's already in place, but we're hoping just to provide easier access to people who have these concerns to bring.
We're talking live with Bishop Richard Malone of Buffalo on News Radio 930 WBEN. Are you able to tell us anything more about the listening sessions that you, sir, are going to be embarking upon?
Well, I'm very pleased about that. You know, as I said, Tom, at this meeting today, the last few days, there's a real commitment to engage the gifts and the talents of our laity in helping us work through these challenges. We know that bishops cannot police bishops. We have to have the lay people do this with us and for us. And so with all that talk about the importance of the laity, it really ties in to what we call in Buffalo the movement to restore trust. I know you know about that.
Of course.
Because you had John Hurley and me on to talk about that not long ago. So that was one of the things they asked me to commit to. We've had the first of seven of those. And I thought it was very good. The people were very candid, very open. I found a lot of honesty in people bringing their concerns and calling for transparency and accountability, which are things we need to be committed to more than we may have been in the past.
Bishop Malone, in what ways does this year's meeting differ from previous year's meetings?
Well, this year's meeting, as you know, was picking up and moving forward on some things we hoped to have done last November at our fall meeting. And what happened, we were ready to go on a lot of the stuff we considered this week, but the Vatican told us to hold off, and a lot of us were upset by that because we wanted to take some actionable steps then. But it turns out, of course, that the Pope wanted to have this meeting in February of the heads of all the national episcopal groups to look at this as a global issue. And so we did some new things, and we picked up on things we hope to do in November. But we really and truly made progress.
Getting back to the Buffalo Diocese, of which you are, of course, the Bishop of Buffalo, Richard Malone, is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. How far along are we in resolving the abuse crisis within the Buffalo Diocese that basically you pretty much walked into?
Well, we have a ways to go, of course, and I think these new protocols will raise further consciousness. But, you know, we have been making good progress. We have had, since 2002, the Charter for the Protection of Children and Young People, and that has really proven to be very effective. We have a horrible history of 50 or 60 years going back of some priests doing terrible things, horrendous things with children. We know that. We lament it, and we repent of it, and we repudiate it. But there are very few. In fact, in the last 30 years, not one priest ordained in the last 30 years in Buffalo has had an allegation of abuse of a child against him. And may that continue to be that way. So I think we're at a new level of both consciousness and commitment. But we have a ways to go, that's for sure.
In terms of recruiting young men for future priesthood, where is the Buffalo Diocese on that? Where do you stand?
Well, the great news is, and it did not get too much attention, I'm afraid, we ordained 8 young men, very fine young men, I got to know them all, to the priesthood a couple of weeks ago for service in the Diocese of Buffalo. It's the largest number of priests we've ordained in a single year since 1985. So, I mean, and these guys are smart. They know what's going on. And if you ask them, as I'm sure their buddies do, are you crazy? I mean, why do you want to go ahead and be a priest at a time when there's all this difficulty from the past? They would tell you that they realize the horrendousness of what we've inherited, but that they want to be part of making the church stronger and purer and be part of the renewal. So we've got a new squadron of 8 young men, I think, who will help us do some great things.
For those who may be considering entering the priesthood, with all of the publicity, obviously, the wrongs of the past have brought forward, what would you tell them as far as overcoming the jibes of their cohorts, et cetera?
Well, I would tell them that if they feel a deep call to the service of God and God's people, and that is a recurring call that doesn't go away, even when perhaps some of their friends or family even try to talk them out of it, because you hear that sometimes, I would say they have to pay attention to that call, because if, in fact, it is a call from God and they follow it, that's where they're going to find happiness in their lives. And we need young men of integrity who are healthy humanly and religiously to be the future shepherds of our people. So, I just recently interviewed 3 young men who have finished their very rigorous admissions process, psychological testing and all kinds of interviews, whom we've admitted to begin in the fall, and there may be another one. So they're still coming. I wish there were more, but they're coming.
Bishop Malone, do you find yourself somewhat disconsolate that the Bruins did not win the Stanley Cup?
Well, I must say I shed a little tear. But more concerned to me, though, right now, I'm more of a baseball guy than I am a hockey guy.
Ah, gotcha.
That's dangerous to say, I know, in Western New York. Sure. But right now I'm lamenting the fact that my Red Sox are, I think, 7.5 games out of first place. And, of course, I spent some time with Cardinal Dolan this week, so he's rejoicing with the Yankees.
Well, it's a long season, as you well know. As far as everything that you've talked about at the Bishop Spring meeting, in addition to the abuse situation, we certainly talked about that a great deal. Is there another item from the agenda that you believe would be of most or greatest interest to Catholics here in Western New York?
Absolutely. That's a great question. We had a presentation on the huge challenge of younger people who are alienated from the church, who are sometimes by the age of 13 kind of leaving the practice of the faith. And so a major initiative of one of the committees I serve on is looking at that more carefully and finding ways we can try to try to stop that hemorrhage of young Catholics from the practice. It's not just Catholics, it's other traditions as well. But our responsibility, of course, is the Catholic young people. So that was an important piece of it as well.
And when are you going to start your listening sessions, and is there anything like an itinerary already that's been planned?
Yeah, well, we had the first one last Saturday morning.
Ah.
And there's another one coming up this Saturday. They're two-hour sessions. And there's a person who facilitates those, as there are so many people who come, that they put them at tables, which I think is a tried and tested way. And so they can come up with some responses to some questions to guide them. And then people will get up and report what's come from each table. There was some concern that they wanted open mic and everyone get up and speak. But the problem with that is not as many people can get their thoughts out there. Someone can take a long time at that open mic. So it seems to me that this is a good way to get as many impressions and concerns out there as possible.
Bishop Malone, it's always a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you for the update from the spring meeting. Very much appreciated.
You're welcome, and please extend my congratulations to David. What an honor.
Absolutely. I'll pass that along during a text. I'll send him a text during the news at 4:30. Thank you so much for mentioning that. Appreciate it.
God bless you. Take care now.
Thank you. Bishop Richard Malone, Bishop of Buffalo, joining us on News Radio 930 WBEN. We're going to get back to illegal licenses and licenses for illegals, because by definition, a license cannot be illegal. All right, so to reset the table here on WBEN, the driver's licenses for illegals. Are you for it? Are you against it? And why? And what do you think the motive is? Why are people pushing this? And, you know, it's just a real cut and dry thing. And you are either here legally or you are here illegally, unless you were born here or born in Puerto Rico or one of the other places where you can be born and still be automatically a citizen of the United States. You can't be an immigrant from Puerto Rico because you're already an American citizen. You are legally, under the law, considered an American citizen if you happen to be from Puerto Rico. So as far as the illegal situation is concerned, you're either legal or you're illegal. If you're illegal, where's the common sense in allowing people who are here breaking the law to have a legal document known as a New York State driver's license? To me, it is anathema to common sense and the way things ought to be. The phone number, and by the way, the state Senate, we're waiting to see what they're going to do. Is there really a doubt? And then what Governor Cuomo is going to do, is there really a doubt? Question mark, question mark, question mark. I don't know. I have no idea of knowing the kind of feedback the state senators are receiving in their various offices across New York State. Actually, there's a poll, which we'll get into in just a little bit, which shows that something like 60%+ of New Yorkers do not want to see illegals get driver's licenses. And that number kind of surprises me, given the blue tonality of this state and given the fact that the Democrat Party just continues to move further and further and further to the left. We will take more calls on this coming up after the news break. If you're on hold, don't desert me. Stay with me on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced. Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The dynamic duo is back.
The hardest working tools.
It's Bowerly and Bellavia on WBEN.
All right, Phil. Phil Kennedy behind the scenes selecting the music here on the program. Bowerly and Bellavia, David is off and probably going absolutely crazy with all the demands on his time and his schedule. And, you know, see, that's the other side. I mentioned this at the very beginning of the show. That is the other side to the Medal of Honor. We all look at David and we're all in awe of David Bellavia. And David is, he is basically going through the meat grinder right now, ladies and gentlemen. And it's not a day at the beach for David Bellavia, just so you know. So everybody who wants to see David, everybody who wants David at their local group or facility, etc., please just be patient. Wait until the immediate hurricane of the media circus ends. And if you think it's bad now for David, it's going to get even worse after he is actually awarded the Medal of Honor on June 25th. I've been saying this ever since it was announced, but with great responsibility, with great recognition comes great responsibility, and the responsibility on David Bellavia is so staggeringly enormous, I don't think most of us can even comprehend it. So please be patient with David, and I just want you to know he's not changed in any way, shape, or form. He's not gone Hollywood on anybody. David is a rock star, but that's not David Bellavia. But I will tell you, as I mentioned yesterday and previously in this show, David's time is no longer his own. David is essentially property of the U.S. Army until further notice. And that really is how it should be. And to be brutally honest with you, David is all about serving his country. So if he can serve his country through winning the Medal of Honor, as he has done, well, it'll be official on June 25th when it is actually presented to him at that ceremony, then David Bellavia will follow orders and do what he is told to do as basically a member of the United States Army. David bleeds the colors of the Buffalo Bills, but he also bleeds the colors and the insignia of the United States Army. So, and I don't think we'd want it any other way because that's David. You've heard him talking about this in his own words. You don't need me to augment it, and I certainly wouldn't detract from it. All right, we're talking about illegals and driver's licenses in New York State. Once again, this cockamamie push is on to get illegals driver licenses in New York State. I think it's absurd. The very idea of illegal means illegal. So why are we trying to legalize people who are fundamentally here illegally? I don't understand it. And this isn't about immigrants. This is about illegals who are here. Immigrants, this does not cover you, because if you are a legal immigrant, you are a legal person living in the United States. We have no beef with you whatsoever. How could we possibly? You went through hell and high water to become a citizen of the United States. But one of the things that concerns me, let me just take a sip of water real quickly. Sorry about this. Might be raining out, but I don't know how your allergies are doing. But the long and the short of it is that this is a political situation. It's being done for votes. End of story. Back to the calls, 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Tony in Tonawanda, thanks for the alliteration and your patience. You're on.
Thank you, Tom. How are
Tony.
I personally, they're circumventing laws without changing laws. They're doing stuff illegally is what they're doing. The governor and all the legislatures, you can't give somebody or have somebody apply for a license that doesn't have the proper documentation to have that document.
You know, that is a great point. And it's a point that has come up previously because we have to produce all kinds of identification in order to get a driver's license.
Exactly. I mean, Social Security card. I mean, everything that they want is documentation that the illegal immigrants don't have. Now, the thing that really bothers me now is that I'm not sure if you're aware of it or not, but in California, they've already given illegal immigrants the okay to hold public office, as long as it's local government. So you can have an illegal immigrant be on the school board, a councilman. This is already passed in California. They're already holding offices.
Keep going.
It's disgusting, is what it is. They're breaking laws And I think it should start with Donald Trump, sanctuary cities, arrest the mayors, arrest the governors.
Well, who can argue? I mean, if anybody else behaved in the way that these people, these politicians are acting, they would probably get an obstruction charge.
Yeah, I mean, and being in New York and, you know, being here my whole life, I see it all the time, you know, and it gets to the point now where there's going to be problems. And the problems that are going to arise from this are the making of the Democratic Party. It seems like to me that they want this to be a country of immigrants.
Well, a country of formerly illegal people who are now, by the stroke of a pen, made legal. And, you know, just to get a learner's permit in New York State, you need one of the following: a U.S. passport or passport card, a U.S. birth certificate issued by a state or local government, a valid foreign passport, certificate of naturalization or citizenship, a valid U.S. employment authorization card with valid passport or foreign or U.S. visa, a valid U.S. employment authorization card notice of action, and a permanent resident card. You need at least one of these.
And what's going to be the excuse for when they start violating traffic laws? They don't understand. I mean, here's a perfect example. I drive a truck for a living. I've been driving for almost 30 years. We have to pay for people to offload our trucks at some places. Now, they do certain types of transactions, which are cash, T-check, EFS, or comm check. So I'm sitting here, and I didn't have a T-check, and that's all that they took. So I'm stopping drivers as they're coming in. I go, do you have a blank T-check I could borrow? Most of them said no. I asked this one guy that came in. I could tell he was Mexican. I go, do you have a T-check I could borrow? And he gives me this look, this strange look. I go, T-check. I have to pay. Do you have T-check? So he grabs his shirt and, like, he's pulling on it and goes, like this one?
Oh.
I go, no, not T-shirt, T-check, to pay. To pay.
Maybe you need to start drawing little pictographs like they did in Deadwood.
And then that's going to, I mean, what's going to happen when they start violating because they don't understand? What happens then? Do you let them go?
Yeah, brother, I hear you. This makes absolutely no sense, and it's not a slam on immigrants. It is a slam on illegal immigrants, and I think illegal immigrants need to get the hell home.
Exactly. It reminds me of down in Texas when the one municipality, they wanted to prosecute people that were going to steal things that were things of necessity if it was under a certain amount of money. So these people went and steal.
Well, did that gain any traction in Texas, or did that go down the pooper?
I don't recall.
I mean, Texas is definitely a badass state when it comes to the laws. I mean, even a little bit of weed in Texas is still a felony, for example.
Yeah, that's another thing that they don't need to pass too in New York State is that. Legalization. I can see medical, but that's as far as it should go in my eyes.
Yeah, I disagree with you on that because I just do. But as far as the illegals, you know, you are either legal or you are illegal. End of story.
Yes. Well, I get discriminated against because I have a commercial driver's license. Because if I get stopped in my personal vehicle and hit below a .02, they take my license.
With a .02.
Right on the spot, they pull my license.
On what basis?
Because I have a commercial driver's license.
But, I mean, so you're telling me that the standard the standard is .02 if you've got a CDL?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Why anybody would want to do that for a living, I don't know. All right, Tony. Well, look, thanks for your patience. Thanks for your call. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Tom.
Let's go to Nancy in North Tonawanda. Nancy, should illegals receive New York State driver's licenses?
Absolutely not.
Tell me why.
Well, first off, you said it. They're illegal. And my thing is, I say this is reverse discrimination against all of us.
In what way?
Well, because you have had many people on saying that you can't get this if you don't have proper documentation. You can't get that if you don't have the different things that you need. But if you're an illegal, you can get it. So you're discriminating.
What is that noise? Hold on a minute. You can't go on any further. What is that noise?
Oh, I'm driving. Actually, I was on the thruway and just got off, and it was a truck next to me.
Oh, man. It needs new brakes or something. Keep going.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's reverse discrimination, and I don't know why more people aren't furious about this. And they're going to take, once they get their license, they are going to take jobs away. that people, and even the people that came in as legal immigrants, that could have gotten, and they won't because now they've got a license.
You know, I do wonder in the immigrant communities how the illegal is viewed, because the immigrant communities, by and large, are filled with law-abiding people who are here in the United States because they got here the legal, lawful, and right way. So I wonder if they view the illegals in the same way as those of us who are native-born Americans view the illegals.
I believe they do, and I think it's a slap in the face to them. I know of several people who came as immigrants into this country, and they went through hell to get here. They had to prove that they weren't going to be a burden on society.
Right.
Their families, they had to put money up for them. They pooled money. Years ago when I worked at a bank, when there was a big influx of Asian people, they would come over and they would all live in one-bedroom apartments, pool their money, because they needed $15,000 per person to get their family member in here. And they did it over and over and over again. And now we're just going to say, oh, come in, take our job. Take our benefits. Don't worry, we'll pay for you. To me, that's discriminatory.
I definitely hear where you're coming from, and I'm glad you called. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sandy.
All right. Actually, this is Tom. Sandy is on 9 to noon on WBEN. She's referring to the great Sandy Beach. And David is, he's gone for the foreseeable future as he's receiving his Medal of Honor. So you're kind of stuck with just me. Somebody's got to stay back here and hold down the fort. I'm just saying, you know, some of us have that responsibility. That's my duty. That is my mission, to hold down the fort here at WBEN along with the great Sandy Beach. Again, Sandy can be heard 9 to noon on WBEN. And no, we are not feuding. It is 4:48. Bowerly and Bellevue. David is, as I said, going to be gone for a little bit. He is receiving his Medal of Honor on June 25th. Here is Charles in Buffalo, or I'm sorry, Charles in Hamburg. Should illegals get illegal legal driver's licenses?
Absolutely not, Tom. And I'm wondering, when does this cross the line into aiding and abetting criminals? You know, using the legal system to defeat the legal system. This is a giant breach, and I'm wondering if the RICO laws even apply.
The racketeer influence and corrupt organization statutes. How would you see those being applicable here?
Well, because they're aiding others to commit crimes, which is to, you know, stay in the country illegally and take from the American people.
I'm not sure if that is a RICO situation. I don't know if that meets all the requirements of RICO predicates, but it just seems to me that if nothing else, I mean, this is an obstruction to me anyway of federal immigration laws. I mean, this is aiding and abetting people who are violating what I always thought were the supersedent laws in America, which were the federal laws.
Well, you're right about that. All the state laws have to face constitutionality, so I would imagine that this can be challenged, and I don't know why it wasn't in California, but...
I think you answered your own question by saying in California.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, anyways, I just wanted your thoughts on it, and I think that it is definitely, aiding and abetting criminal activity.
Look, call me a cretin, call me a caveman, and any other insults you want to give at me, but I got to tell you that I really believe that this is an obstruction situation, and I think sanctuary cities and sanctuary states are also an obstruction situation, and I certainly hope that the federal government starts to flex its muscle, as they certainly flex it in other cases, to make sure that illegals are deported, arrested, and out of our country.
Sure, you would think so, especially when they have contained in this statute that they're working on to hide information from police, about the documentation that they give them, which is probably going to be worthless anyways.
All right, man. I'm glad you called. Thank you very much.
All right, see you.
803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I did not hear the last 5 seconds of that call because my headphone jack became undone, which I quickly was able to fix on the fly. That's very embarrassing when that happens, when your foot knocks the headphones out of the socket.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.